BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodi. Say the word exorcism and odds are good that flashbacks of priests, spinning heads and devils will pop into the people's minds. But Dr. James Stokeson, he practices something known as pain exorcism, a program that helps to rid the body of pain in a mostly drug-free intensive manner. And I'm speaking to him today to get his scoop on the procedure and what it's all about. How are you today, Dr. James?
I'm doing great. I just got back from Malaysia. It took me 36 hours. I think I need a pain exorcism after that long trip.
It's a shame we were not able to catch up with you while you were here. I know you came on a very quick trip, didn't you?
Right. I think it took me 70 hours to get there and back, and I was there for 48. So that's how it worked.
That's what life is all about, isn't it? James, let's just go into the first question. Of course, I think at the top of everyone's mind is, what is pain exorcism? I mean, how would you describe it? You are a chiropractic physician?
Right. It's kind of funny how it all came out, actually. It was nicknamed a pain exorcism by a famous children's entertainer named Anthony Field from the Wiggles children's group. I don't know if you have kids, but if you do, then they actually came through Malaysia last year. But they're very popular in the U.S. and also
in Australia. They're an Australian group, aren't they?
Right. Just four blokes, as they say, that have developed an array of children's songs, and they actually go on the road, and over 1 million people buy tickets for their live shows, and they have a TV show in 110 countries, as a matter of fact. So
Right. They're
quite popular with youngsters. So Anthony, actually, I was called by my agent. I have an agent that negotiates my agreements with these entertainers. And she had let me know that I was to work for the Wiggles, and I didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I was to go directly to the theater and mainly pay attention to this gentleman, Anthony Field, who was the Blue Wiggle.
Right.
That he was having a bit of a physical and or mental meltdown. And it was going to affect the show. He was actually considering ending his career completely at that point and throwing away about 15 years of hard work. And, of course, they were at their peak at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They had just sold out 12 consecutive shows at the iconic Madison Square Garden Theater in New York City, which is like a record. And they were just the talk of the town at the time. So it was quite a adventure to go over there. And then, of course, he had come to me and he said, look, I want you to put your treatment table next to the stage because what you're going to do is treat me before I go on. And then in the middle, I'll actually come off and I'll have a lie down to get the rest from my pains. And then you'll treat me again in the middle of the show. And then, of course, you'll treat me at the end of the show. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, I will help you. But it's certainly not going to be like that. And that he kind of got a look on his face, and he said, well, I said, you're going to need a full physical overhaul, which means from the floor to the ceiling to restore your natural spring mechanism. It's going to take about 10 to 12 hours for me to get that accomplished for you, and then after that, you won't have to worry about this anymore, this chronic pain and fibromyalgia that you had and the chronic fatigue. And then he looked at me and said, look, who's paying for this? And he almost kicked me out of the show. Because, you know, people are in their everyday activity is just hustle and bustle, and one meeting goes into another. And people don't really think that they have time to tackle the chronic pain issues. So sometimes they just resort to the quick fix, which is the prescription drugs. And Anthony was, in fact, relying on prescription drugs so much that he had kept upping the doses. And there's a danger that comes in prescription drugs, not only those that are prescribed by a doctor, but also those that you can buy over the counter. In fact, over 140,000 people have had, been hospitalized for the use of just plain aspirin in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a leading cause of liver disease in the U.S. is just the use of over-the-counter pills that you take for chronic pain that you can get any drugstore.
Right.
But the prescription drugs that he was taking was a lot more powerful, and he kept taking more because, you know, you develop a reliance.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was in Mexico getting a tattoo, and he actually was so numb from the medication that he fell asleep during the process. And if you know, tattoos can be very painful. So we knew that it was taking too much. Now, the problem comes when people don't realize they may have an obstructed bowel or, in his case, severe tooth decay. These problems without the warning signal can go bad on you, and you can end up in the hospital or more even severe, dying from problems because you don't catch them in time. So it's not something to be, you know, take it for granted. The pain is there to help you to get the care you need. So back to the pain exorcism, what I did was I said, well, listen, just lay down. Let me take a look at you. And actually what I had already known was I already had diagnosed all of his conditions by his walk. And it's called gait evaluation. And, you know, you don't have a lot of time backstage because it's the fast-paced world backstage when you're working with entertainers. And not many people get a glimpse of it, but, you know, it can be very stressful. And so I had to diagnose him quickly. So I did it as he was walking up to me. And he said, you know, this isn't so bad. I said, how long have you had the left knee pain, that left foot pain, and the left hip pain? And he looked at me kind of crazy.
Wow.
Said, how did you know? You know? And I said, by the way, you walk. And then it kind of got him into a hypnosis state because he was so fascinated by how I had, in 3 minutes, diagnosed from the way he walked everything that was wrong with him, where he had been to so many other doctors that had unsuccessfully diagnosed him before, and he paid a fortune for that, you know, and never really got anywhere. So at least I got him to lie down. And then I started working on his feet because I had noticed that his walk had gone from what's normal is when you bounce your body weight off of the ground. But his body was so much banging and twisting into the ground, and that can't be good. And it created a breakdown of his entire spring mechanism where his body, it was actually attacking him. When you say, like, when you walk comfortably across the ground, sort of like a Buddhist monk with your sandals, you're just quietly walking, soothing to the body. Banging and twisting is a assault on the joints, the muscles, and it creates hostilities, and it creates frustration, and it causes all kinds of stressors that release these inflammatory chemicals in the body that seep through, even through the blood-brain barrier, and cause even feelings of malaise and listlessness, like loss of spirit and
right.
Depression. And this is the state that he was in. So just to get him to lie down, and then I spent about 4 hours just working on his feet and his legs and his hips. And then he said, oh, I have to jump up and get to the show. And he jumped up and he looked at me kind of like unhappy, like, you know, that was really great. But next time, would you like to work on my back? Because that's where all the pain is. And then he started doing these Elvis gyrations, you know, sort of like, he was doing the twist. And he's looking kind of funny. And I said, what's wrong? He said, it's nothing. It's my back pain is completely gone.
Right.
And I said, isn't that what I told you I was going to do? I was going to release your spring mechanism from the bottom to the top, and then it would recalibrate itself, and then the pain would be gone, right?
Right.
He said, yeah, that's what I thought you said, but I can't believe it actually happened. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. I've got to do the show. And after that, the pain was gone and never came back ever again.
Forever.
Yeah, so he came back after the show. And we're talking about somebody who had chronic pain for 25 years and saw an array of specialists around the world with no long-term results.
Right. Based on your experience, James, what are the factors that contribute towards chronic pain in most people who come and see you?
You know, what I've found is that our natural body movements, if they're preserved, we can last 100 years or more with our joints being freely moving and, preserved because of a phenomenon in physics called elastic recoil or elastic deformity. In physics, we think of elastic deformity as when a spring, let's say like a mechanical spring and you have your pen, if you deform the shape, like squeeze it down, it will store energy within the deformation process.
Yes.
And then when you release it back to its exact original shape, it releases that energy. And then you could keep deforming it over and over again if it keeps returning back to its exact original shape, millions and millions and millions of times. And the human body actually collides with the earth 10,000 times a day because we take 10,000 steps a day on average, according to the American Podiatry Association.
Mm-hmm.
Some more, some less. However, if you multiply that by 365, that's 3.6 million collisions with the earth.
Every year.
And human are two objects that collide over 100 million times by our 30th birthday. So with that, if we don't have this perfect elastic deformity where it deforms its shape during impact and returns to its exact original shape, then it'll create a plastic deformity. These plastic deformities are permanent deformities in our human spring mechanism, per se. And these plastic deformities don't allow us to protect ourselves so well from these impacts because we can't store so much energy in something that's permanently deformed and resist the impact. And therefore, we can't recycle the energy as well either. So this natural energy that's preserved by this elastic recoil or elastic deformity, we lose that. And that's what we call chronic fatigue. And the inability to protect ourselves from these impacts called chronic pain. So they run together when the human spring mechanism is deformed, and that mainly happens with footwear.
Would you say footwear then is the main problem with most of us, are you saying?
Yes, I am. Okay. I would have to say that by and large, footwear is the number one, in my opinion, the number one causative agent that creates chronic pain. And
so,
what you could say, well, I lifted something and my back went out on the right. I'll have to say that from the patients that I evaluate, when they come in clinically saying that type of thing, they will show a physically different walking step on the right side, the injured side, that they do on the left side. And 99% of them have the abnormal movement pattern, like maybe you're supposed to walk with your second toe pointing exactly towards the target. They're walking with kind of a duck walk on the right side as mm-hmm. opposed to the left side, or they're banging and twisting on the right side. So what I feel is that there's a predisposed or preloading of the spring mechanism or pre-lockdown of the spring mechanism. And the lifting just, there was not, what happens is when we lift something, we're going to load a certain amount of force or energy in the spring. If there's already a preloaded amount of stress loaded into the mechanism, the lifting of that amount overloads the mechanism because there's not enough room to put the force in. It's like kind of saying, well, I'm going to jump around on a pogo stick, but I'm going to kind of squeeze it down halfway, but I'm going to do the exact same jumping. There's not enough room for you to get all the force of the impact into the mechanism.
Right.
So it overloads and the disc herniates, and that's how discs herniate, that's how knees rupture, tendons rupture.
That makes a whole lot of sense. I'm just thinking, is this something that they teach you in when you train to be a chiropractor?
No, actually, I haven't been to school in 25 years, but what it's been a while.
Okay.
But actually, they don't teach it even in the right scientific literature. The closest thing I've seen was the writings in the Nature magazine publication by Daniel Lieberman. Doctors from Harvard University did a study, Barefoot versus Shod. If you just put Barefoot Harvard into Google,
right,
you'll find the study that was done by Daniel Lieberman about habitually barefoot runners that he did a comparison between those runners that had never worn shoes
mm-hmm.
and those who are running wear running shoes. And what they found was that habitually barefoot runners actually have a different foot strike in the midfoot area, where they load the force of the impact of the body weight into the midfoot with a series of like elastic elements, what I call spring mechanisms. And that shod runners actually load the energy into the heel, and the shod runners actually were found to have 7 times more transient force on the body than barefoot, forefoot, or midfoot landers. So footwear, in my opinion, like I said before, alters the normal or natural, we call it more natural biomechanics. In fact, it's the only area of our body that we alter the movement patterns and think it's okay to alter the normal movement, natural new movement patterns during exercise. When you do martial arts, you certainly don't wear footwear.
No.
When you do gymnastics, jumps, bounds, and here we're talking about impact forces of between 1,000 and 1,200 pounds, sometimes on each foot, which is incredible force into the human body, and they're not wearing any shoes. They're doing it barefoot. So a lot of people think that impact forces or these kind of running is bad for us. And what I'm here to say is that the reason why that happens is that doctors see patients when their spring mechanism is broke down and their body turns from a spring mechanism into a lever system. And the body is ambulating by kind of pushing the body across the ground instead of bouncing the mass off of the ground like it's supposed to, like kids do. And so what we're finding is that they think it's a lever system, so they can't possibly imagine how a lever system could take up impacts. Lever systems cannot take up impacts. Spring mechanisms can. So as long as you have an intact spring mechanism, you can run for miles barefoot on the hardest surfaces known to man, such as concrete streets like I do, and not suffer any damage to your body.
Right. So what do you do then? I mean, when a person comes to you with chronic pain, is that the first thing you look at, and their feet and the way they walk?
Well, the first thing we do is we, of course, take a history and determine where their problems are. And they always have a stack of MRI scans, and they say, here's my problem. Of course, I don't pay much attention to
those.
Exactly.
So you don't really bother?
You know, honestly, I do, because I don't want them to feel bad that they spent the $1,200 to $2,000 on these work. You know, because, you know, my father used to say, you know, I used to say, Dad, you got to order more MRI scans. He was a physician. He said, look, what you have to do is you have to figure out how to get the patient out of pain. And if you can't do that, then you're looking at four walls and empty practice.
Yes.
And when he said that, it just really struck a chord in me, and he was right. The problem today is that doctors don't do really a lot of field examinations. They just have pain on the right side. Okay, it's shooting down your leg. We'll order an MRI scan. I'll call you in 3 days. You know, there's so much that can be gleaned from a gait study. In fact, what I recommend patients do, if you're listening to this, this is very important. Everybody seems to have access to or possesses one of these little flip cameras that are like $120. If you don't have one, you can order it online. It's a high definition pocket size camera that does video. It's a remarkable instrument. You know, I mean, it was next to impossible or difficult for us to even do gait studies without buying a $5,000 to $10,000 camera.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do now is get this cheap camera and then just stand 10 feet away with our socks and shoes off and walk comfortably towards the camera and walk comfortably back and then walk as fast as you can towards the camera and as fast as you can away. And what you do then is just, you know, it takes 20 seconds to 30 seconds. Take the camera, plug it into your computer, and simply slowly move frame by frame and watch how your body mass, your body impacts with the ground, and see how your foot moves from left to right, first of all. Compare them from side to side. And usually what you'll find is that the side of involvement will strike the ground quite differently. You don't even have to be a doctor to see it. In fact, the patients, they watch their gait study as I'm going through it, and I say, look how your foot is turned out on the left where the pain is, and on the right it's straight. Isn't that interesting? And how it bangs and how it twists when it leaves the ground, and they say, my God, that's so obvious.
Yes.
And the first thing they say, why didn't my other doctor check me like this? And I just shrug my shoulders and move on with the rest of the exam, because I don't really know why.
Yep.
But they should, because there's a lot more that you can get from watching somebody walk than certainly like a stationary flat plate film of somebody's spine. Oh, looks like you don't have any cancer, dislocated bones, or broken bones. Of course not. I just lifted a box of paper. How could I break a bone? you know?
Yes.
We have to know more detail, and that will give you, the listeners should glean a lot from just doing that simple test. So that's the first thing that we do.
Fantastic. Coming up, we'll find out more about pain exorcism with Dr. James Stokeson. He's a chiropractic physician. He's speaking to me all the way from Washington, D.C.?
Chicago.
Or is it Chicago? Chicago, yeah. In the United States of America. And when we come back, we'll find out more about this interesting topic. Rest assured, it has nothing to do with spinning heads and devils. On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. With me all the way from Chicago is Dr. James Stokeson. He's a chiropractic physician. He practices something called pain exorcism. We're trying to find out a little bit more about that. So, you know, Dr. James, we're just going to go back. Everything you say is probably linked to your feet. So how do you then maintain or preserve your body movements? Earlier on, you said preserving that body movement, like that spring, preserving that elasticity of the spring is extremely crucial. So how do we do that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that in medicine, we have carved our bodies out into sections, and we've delivered the spine to the chiropractor, and then the podiatrist has from the knee down. And then, you know, the body doesn't really work that way. So unfortunately, it's crazy to think that even though we have these binding devices and these devices that actually alter the normal mechanics of this remarkable instrument of engineering, the human foot has 33 individual joints that are there because when we impact the ground with forces of between 250 and 1,250 pounds of force, the forces of this impact are spread across these 33 joints to allow these joints to be able to smooth the landing out across, you know, by spreading out the forces.
Yep.
And so the first step is to ensure that all these joints are moving. And in the book, How I Got My Wiggle Back, by Anthony Field, the entertainer from The Wiggles that actually went through the pain exorcism, mm-hmm. and got better, he wrote a book about it, and in this book we talk about ways where we can use our hands to do pressure points and stretchings and physical manipulation of the foot with our own hands. And wiggling, we do a thing called a wiggle test, which is wiggling the bones of the toes, and more in the middle of the foot, we call it like around the middle of the arch. We can wiggle bone number 5, the number 4, number 3, and kind of check each one to see how each one moves in comparison to the others. And what we're finding is the second and third one are the ones, the one next to the big toe, are the ones that are the most locked. And when the foot as an arch spring mechanism drops and locks, that's when the abnormal movement occurs. Then it causes stress and strain, the wear and tear, the release of this inflammation, and, of course, the pain.
Okay.
So the key is to release the bones of the feet. And I spend about a half an hour to 45 minutes on my own body, releasing the muscles and the joints of the foot with my own hands before I do my barefoot running. Because I'm in a shoes that are at the work. I can't go barefoot at the office because patients look at me a little funny. And in Chicago especially, cold. And so I actually spend that much time, you know, manipulating the foot, scissor stretch, like stretch one way, stretch the other, and actually spreading the toes out, pulling the big toe and the smallest toe, and just spreading them apart because, you know, these ladies with these pointy toe shoes, and of course they're sacrificing their feet for a fashion, and we love it, but you know, we can do some things at night that will help us to prevent these abnormalities called deformities or bunions and neuromas, and also the abnormal movement patterns through the 7 floors of the spring mechanism. And so another thing you could do is get like a vibrational massager that you can get just at these department stores, or you can get an even more powerful one that we are manufacturing in China that is got a like a rubber head that you can vibrate your feet and, you know, just really just take some time to work on them in the evening or in the morning or especially before your sports activities, especially running.
Right. And you recommend us doing this every day, either first thing in the morning or when you get back home from work.
It's probably best to do it when you get home. And then the first thing in the morning as well, you can do it just before you get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got about 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Just go ahead and give your hand give your foot a hand, as they say.
Right. Where does foot reflexology fall into all of this? Is it the same thing?
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that you say that.
Because
foot
reflexology,
ask me that all the time.
The reason I ask is because foot reflexologies are really big on this side of the world.
Right. I'm aware of that. I have not really focused on, you know, the reflexology, because the treatment that I'm doing is sometimes spending 15 hours just doing extremely grueling deep tissue work on people's feet to allow that the body weight to bounce off the ground. And so it's been hard for me to compare the results. And here's what I'm finding is that sometimes we can get confused, and I don't mean to demean the Asian approach of reflexology. I think it's certainly great, and I've had it done myself in Bali, and I felt great afterwards. However, here's what happens, and that is when we are cooped up in these binding shoes, we are isolated from the earth. And so we don't really feel nature. And so when you're isolated from the earth, sometimes we feel these isolation feelings, mental or psychological feelings, as well as we have sicknesses that are related to the levels of inflammation. And from what I can see, this constant banging of the foot into the ground, because it's when the foot locks, it can be so stiff that it's like thawing out a piece of frozen steak. It's literally a grueling experience for me, the doctor, to be able to restore the foot back to its natural elastic state on some of these patients.
Are you saying that everyone can restore their foot to its natural state?
Well, once you've got quite a bit of plastic deformities, like you have bunions at 45 degrees with screws that are put in surgically, and you know, it can be, you know, I mean, not everyone can get back the way they were as a child, but it's certainly worth the effort, and I'll tell you why. What I have developed this concept called barefoot to bedridden, and what that means is that as a child, we are barefoot. We have this bounding elasticity, like spring in our step, and it seems like kids, they fall down, and they cry a bit for a minute or two, like something that we would think is tragic to our bodies. And they get up and run around like nothing else happened.
Yes.
And we fall down, we can't get up, and we and we have chronic pain for our lifetime.
Yes.
And the reason I feel is because that natural spring mechanism, when kids get back on their feet, the natural spring mechanism restores and recalibrates the mechanism neurologically as it runs right up through the chain. So it restores it naturally for them. We don't have that, as we have more plastic deformities. The ability for our body to restore that natural spring mechanism through the floors, like through the knee, hip, lower back, and the neck, we cannot do it anymore because it's literally impossible by the laws of physics, engineering, and the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely impossible to get rid of your herniated disc or your chronic pain without restoring the natural spring mechanism to the human body. And people think, well, I'm going to go to the doctor and say, and the first thing they ask, where does it hurt? My back. Okay, let's x-ray the back, examine the back, stretch the back, put ice on the back, heat, manipulate the back, and yet they do nothing to look at the floors beneath the spring mechanism, and that's the biggest mistake they make.
Okay.
And patients who have low back pain chronic or low back pain chronic on one particular side, like I said before, if you watch yourself on video in slow motion, you will see the secrets to why you have the lower back pain. And you really should bring the video, bring your laptop into your doctor and show him what you find, because you'll find it to be startling how almost exact these correlations are between, you know, pain on one particular side and the abnormal foot plant on the side of the involvement. So, you know, patients can restore them. And here's what happened. Like I said, barefoot to bedridden is where you know, like you have a knee problem or you have a back problem, the first thing doctors do is they give you like some supportive shoes, and then they give you these orthotics that
cost you an arm and a leg.
Then they give you, then the next step is then you've got four supports because you have two supports on either heel with a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these two supports under your arches, so your spring mechanism can't possibly work because the support is getting in the way of the natural spring.
Yep.
But they got the supports, and that's six supports. And then you get a cane, that's seven supports. And then you go from there to a four-prong walker,
mm-hmm.
and that's 10 supports. And then you're in a wheelchair, and then you go bedridden. What the human spring approach tells us that let's take the cane away, let's restore the spring mechanism, let's remove the arch supports, let's remove the shoes, and get you back to the way that you were as a child and restore that ability that you were as a child to even run barefoot in the hardest surfaces. And that's my goal as a doctor, is to restore you your youth, your elastic energy and your elastic spring and spring protection systems, so that you can do what you used to do as a kid. Mm-hmm. How's that?
You know, James, I'm just thinking, right, why are the doctors not practicing pain exorcism or just adopting this whole principle of the elasticity and the spring? It makes a lot of sense, but there must be a reason why they're not practicing it.
The word pain exorcism is a little bit different. This, what I'm speaking of here is just restoring the human spring mechanism is a bit different from what the nickname that the entertainers gave to the pain exorcism. Where the pain exorcism comes, where you have, you know, the rich and famous celebrity entertainers, like I said, the backstage world of entertainment is fast-paced. And, for instance, Whitney Houston's concert average gate was 1.3 million. Mariah Carey's around 500,000. You've got U2 is at 9 million, and Rolling Stones $4.5 million per night. That's their gate. So if an entertainer goes down, can't perform, the other performers, the promoters, the venue, there's just a enormous amount of money at risk here. And so when I'm called in, it's an emergency basis, you know, sometimes flown to another country, another state, and then what happens is that they say, okay, do your magic. And I park over the top of them, and I do about what is analogous to 2 or 3 weeks of treatment in one day. So what you're talking about is very grueling, deep tissue work to restore the spring mechanism of the human body, and therefore the pain goes away on its own. But you're talking about like 10 hours, 12 hours straight, deep tissue, hardcore, and it's a bit of a painful process. In fact, in Anthony's book, where there were two paragraphs that when they wrote the book, I said, Anthony, Greg, you got to take this part out because people will be afraid. The actual description of the process that Anthony put in the book was that it was a very grueling and bit of a painful process, because if a doctor's not working on the muscles that are in pain with full of inflammation, they're really not doing anything for you. You have to get in there and work on the muscles that are full of inflammation and chronic spasm, and you have to do the treatment on them. Otherwise, you can't restore the mechanism back to the way it was supposed to be.
Right. I'm trying to imagine the procedure here. It's a combination of massage and other things that you actually do for 10 to 12 hours?
Well, what you're talking about, like say, for instance, if you start at the foot, you know, the CUN is called the Chinese human inch. It's like the thumb pad. It's about an inch long.
Yes.
And that's how the Chinese measure for acupuncture points. You know, each one, that's where the location for points are according to the size of your thumb.
Okay.
And so the treatment is done with one thumbprint accuracy. It's a pinpoint accuracy, like a precision delivered treatment right to the point of the muscle. And you're working with what is called the myotactic reflex. That's like a spindle cell. Inside the fibril of the microscopic fiber of the muscle, there's a spindle cell that gauges the stretch of the muscle. And what we've learned is that if we put direct pressure on this spindle cell, which we're getting millions of them, obviously, with a thumbprint because it's microscopic, but what we can do is that by putting direct pressure on that, we can fool the brain into thinking that the spindle cell is okay. It's righted. It's normalized. And so what patients normally feel is this excruciating pain, like a 10 out of 10 on the Borg pain scale. And then it holds there like plateaus. And I say, don't worry, it'll go away. And all of a sudden, you can feel under your thumbprint, it's like the steak thaws out just about a millimeter. Mm-hmm. Ah, it went down, didn't it? Yeah, it did. It went down to a 7. And they kind of get a little relief. And I go, it's going to stay there for a while. And then it drops down to like a 4. And then it drops right down to a 0. And when it hits 0, no pain, then we move one thumbprint over. Right. And we literally go through the human body one thumbprint by thumbprint meticulously, removing every single restricted spasm on the human spring mechanism, thus restoring it by taking the preloaded compressive force off of the spring to allow it to be able to load more force of impact into it, like simple walking or even running. And that what that does is remove the compression force off of these joints, like in your knee or your hip or your discs. Mm-hmm. And then the pain naturally goes away and the body can heal itself.
Right. Sounds like, you know, a very intensive massage, going through thumbprint by thumbprint every part of your body. Isn't that what you're doing?
Right. Right. And it takes, what happens is that you can normally, you're going to go down a pattern. Now, when the human body is a marvel of engineering, so what happens when it breaks down is it breaks down with muscle spasm in a particular pattern according to the way you walk. And these patterns have been documented. And so if you walk, I can predict almost 100% accuracy exactly where all your pains are and exactly where every painful muscle spasm is. Because as predictable, gravity and all these engineering principles that are applied to the human body and physics, then you can be extremely accurate with the treatment. And patients are like startled when they put down that they have low back pain. And when I watch them walk, I'm like, no way. He has knee pain, too, on the left. He's got achondromalacia. And I say, listen, why didn't you put down that your knees are cracking and that you have pain along your patella, your kneecap? And they say, my God, how did you know? It's like they think I have ESP. And they say, well, I didn't think that you know how to treat that because you're a chiropractor. But, yeah, I'd like to get that squared away, too. Can you treat that? You know, sure. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you next time tell me the truth, you know?
Right. You know, the inflammation and the points where you said, you know, you're going thumbprint by thumbprint, releasing the pressure in those areas. It sounds like when you go to the masseur here in Malaysia, they would tell you have a lot of knots. Is that what you're referring to?
What happens is, you know, say for instance that you have a knee pain, you can feel it. But then you go to a massage therapist and, you know, your back feels pretty good. But they put their thumbprint into a part of the muscles of the back and you find a point that's excruciating pain and they try to massage the inflammation out. I don't rub anything because I feel it just irritates it and it certainly feels that way for me. I just put direct pressure over that area that hurts. And in fact, patients can do that. Your listeners can start treating themselves just by finding areas that hurt and applying direct pressure and holding it till the pain goes away. It's remarkable what you feel. It's just amazing. Self-help really works. So, yes, that's called what I call silent arthritic inflammation. In other words, painful is something is like my back hurts. But I didn't know that I had all these painful spasms on my outside my hip muscle and the outside of my leg and, you know, in the first and second toe of my foot on the, you know, that hurt. I didn't know I had all those. But what that is that when the body moves abnormally, not according to its natural movement, these muscles are tripped by the brain because the brain says, hey, wait a minute, this isn't the way the human body is supposed to move. So I don't know how to fix it, but I know I just put it into spasm. And then the stress and strain releases that inflammation. That muscle's full of inflammation. But what the massage therapist is not equipped with is that they don't understand that these muscle pains that they're feeling actually follow patterns that are directly related to the foot plant and how gravity is pulling the body towards the earth and the effect of gravity and how it reacts to these muscles that are resisting the impact forces, the spring off, we call it. So if you are diligent, what you can do is you can track that spasm pain,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually find the pattern. And once you do, you just work it all the way down to the foot, and it's remarkable the improvement that you should that you'll find, both in your ability to walk more comfortably with a smoother landing, more efficiency in walking, as well as, you know, a lot of inflammation causes feelings of malaise and brain fog and even clinical depression. Clinical depression is linked to high levels of chronic inflammation, and also inflammation is considered one of the most detrimental problems for aging in general, the skin, the heart muscle, even the brain tissue, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, depression, all have links to high levels of chronic inflammation. So if you think you're just getting by taking these anti-inflammatories, you're not only getting the inflammation of the liver, but you're not really taking away enough inflammation to have a progressive preventive approach to reducing these diseases of aging.
So where do you suggest we go from here? I mean, there's a lot of information we understand now. We're not going to start moving around without our shoes. Shoes are here to stay with us. Ladies are not going to throw away those high-heeled shoes that we absolutely love. So where do you suggest we even start to restore this elasticity, at least to a certain extent, and to help ourselves to a very large extent?
Okay, first there are, that I already had recommended to summarize, to do a videotape of your gait to see how your body's interacting with the ground. There you'll discover a lot. That's the examination process. Then to wiggle the bones of your feet to make sure that they're the freedom of movement. You can even get like a little skeletal picture of your foot from any type of book or Google that, and see where the bones should be moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to make sure that they are moving in those areas. So movement should occur at all joints. So wiggle the feet around in the actual joints of your body in general.
Right.
And the stretching. And there are certain ways that we should be walking. This is the next key. There are certain ways that we should be walking to preserve our natural motion. And that is that if you're walking towards something, your second toe is the access point that should be pointing towards the target. You should not have your foot going one direction and the body going another, because anything in between, like your knee or your hip, is going to be twisted. That's just logical. So you keep your second toe pointing towards the target. That means that your big toe is inside the center point, inside the center line. You should never have your feet cross the midline. Like, you should be on some runway somewhere as a model,
mm-hmm.
but not walking like a model every day.
Right.
So you should keep your feet approximately the distance of where your hip sockets insert. You have to get sort of a feel for that. It's around 5 or 6 inches apart. And then you should concentrate on, you know, this kind of interesting. When you're standing up, what you do is you just sort of lean forward at your ankles, not at your hips, but lean forward at your ankles as if you're going to just fall down. And what you do is you start your walk or your run by going into what we call a controlled fall. And that means that you're kind of leaning your body mass forward, and then gravity is pulling you. And then you go into this, you know, gradual controlled fall where you're just keep stepping your foot in front of your body mass so that the mass lands directly over the top of the foot, perpendicular to the impact point. What happens if you put your foot too far forward, you're going to heel land. It's like putting on the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
So when runners run, they get in the blocks and they're bent forward already. They're already leaning forward. And then they go into this controlled fall that allows gravity to pull them forward, which is some free energy. When gravity pulls you forward, you don't have to exert yourself. And they just bounce off the spring mechanism. That's the key to running fast. And so what you do is just lean forward and just kind of bounce your body weight off of your forefoot. If you heel, when you're running fast, if you want to stop, you lean back and you put on the brakes by digging your heels in. Some people, if you watch your gait pattern on your videotape, you're actually digging your heels in or hitting with your heels and braking while you're trying to go forward.
Yeah.
So you're taking up all that like banging into your joints and causing damage to your joints. So try not to land with the heel, you know, into the ground. So those are some tips. And oh, one more thing, and that is that if you want to be able to load the force of the impact of your landing of each step without banging it into the body,
mm-hmm.
keep your shins and your body completely relaxed. And just let the body land gradually. Have some faith in your foot. It's got a nice elastic mechanism. And just let it relax completely like a noodle. And let the body just bounce the weight off of this nice, flexible, relaxed foot. When people do that, it's like they can feel the pressure and the pain and the stress come off of their body almost instantly. And so I recommend you try it, and you'll find that it's just a remarkable improvement on your gait. And, of course, like I said, with 100 million collisions with the ground over just a 30-year period, by your 30th birthday, by reducing some of the stress with each and every step, you can significantly reduce the chances of getting these chronic arthritis conditions, as well as the worst ones, which is the knee replacements and the hip joint replacements.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the recommendations that I could give you.
Great stuff, Dr. James. How do we get in touch with you? Is there a website?
What I would like to recommend is that, you know, folks in Malaysia can actually purchase Anthony Field's book, which is a book that we took 4 years to outline how this human spring mechanism works and what to do to how to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually go on Amazon.com and you can get the online version or the uploadable Kindle version. Those you can get it on Mac from Malaysia, as well as you can actually get the book. I was talking to a lady from the business newspaper. She was from Malaysia Business Newspaper.
Okay.
Back in when I was there Saturday. And she said that it takes her around 2 weeks to get the books from Amazon shipped directly, and you have to pay the shipping. But you can actually get that book. It's called How I Got My Wiggle Back, and you just put it into the Amazon search, and you'll find it. It's got about 100 pages of my detailed methods of how to help yourself. But you can go to teamdoctorsblog.com, and in only the last 2 months, Debbie, who's actually she's a professor of English, she works for me full-time, we've loaded up over 160 articles on how to help yourself and check yourself and for training principles in the last 2 months, which is about 150,000 words of content. It would take you forever to read it all, but it's a great source of information on this concept called the human spring and how it works and how to use it the best.
Wonderful. That book title again is
How I Got My Wiggle Back
by Anthony Fields, and that website.
Yeah,
and that website, teamdoctorsblog.com.
Right.
Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. James.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. James Stokeson, a chiropractic physician on pain exorcism on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.